May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, today, friends, we begin the season of Advent when we wait in expectation. Well, we wait in expectation for several things. We're waiting, of course, for Christmas, for a break from work, for presents, for family and friends to gather around, and for the shopping and the baking and the stressing out to be finished. That's what I wait for. And of course, we are waiting for the birth of the Lord in a manger. But listening to today's readings, we are also waiting with anticipation for the end of all things, for the day of the Lord, for his coming with the clouds, for his reign of peace and justice. Advent is a funny time that way. It is both a time of beginnings and a time of endings. Today's readings were more about endings. The text from Jeremiah comes from the time when Jeremiah knows that the city of Jerusalem will be razed to the ground by the Babylonian army. And I have this image. I haven't been to Jerusalem, so I don't know if this is consistent with the landscape, but I have this image of Jeremiah standing, as it were, on the wall of Jerusalem and watching the Babylonians coming from across the plains and knowing what is coming for them, knowing that they will raise the city to the ground, knowing that they will tear down the temple, knowing that the people will be led into exile. Jeremiah, in the midst of that moment, receives this word from the Lord. There will come a time when your suffering is ended, and my peace and justice will rule over all. I will not forget you, and I am not forsaking you. And matched up against this word of hope in the midst of doom, we have these words from Jesus today, in which he tells of the end of all things. It's a bit hard to tell whether he's warning his hearers or whether he's giving them good news. He says, when all these things happen, then lift up your heads. And you kind of think, maybe he's telling them they'll really look forward to this. They'll enjoy this part. But he tells them to watch out for the coming day of the Lord. Two stories that tell us that everything that we know now, whether it be good or whether it be bad, is about to change, and God will be with us as it does. That much is clear. What is up for debate is how we feel about those facts. Do we welcome the change that God brings, or do we hold back, heels planted, legs braced against what God is unfolding? But there's an irony in Advent, too. It's nestled right up against all the other contrasts of this season. It's the irony that Advent comes predictably every single year. This season of watching and waiting and wondering when God will act is, in fact, one of the most predictable seasons of the church calendar. It starts almost exactly always on the first Sunday of December. Now, you compare that to the utter chaos of when Easter happens, and Advent looks downright dependable. We can depend upon the fact that God will act. We can await it with sure and certain confidence, even if we don't know how. Even if we don't know exactly when, even if we don't know if it will feel like a beginning or an ending, God will act. But wait, there is one last fact about Advent for today's sermon. We go through this every year because God doesn't just act later. God is dependably, reliably, predictably working in our lives every year, including right now. So you add all those things up, and here's the question for us today. What exactly are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? Almost all of us have areas in our lives where we feel dissatisfied. We listen to these words of Jesus today, and we feel anxious. Our relationships are not like we would like them to be. Our interactions with others don't make us proud. We say words in church that we would like to live out, but we don't know how. We hold grudges that we can't let go. We're afraid. We'd like to be more brave. We can't make the difference that we'd like to, and we maybe feel like we're trapped and we don't know how to escape. We don't live perfect lives. And yet, my friends, right now, somewhere in your life, God wishes to help you make a change. There is something that God is ready and willing to transform with your help as soon as you are ready to say yes. What are you waiting for? God is ready as soon as you are ready to be done waiting. We think of God as the God of earth-shaking, mountain-trembling, sun, moon, and stars-darkening power. But what if God is also the God of tiny, cumulative, life-changing transformations? And what if that is the power behind our predictable, regular, annual celebration that the day of the Lord is coming? What if it is coming here? What if it is coming now? What if it is coming in our lives in tiny, life-changing ways? When I was a teenager, and my mother is here today, so she can testify to this. When I was a teenager, I was bitter, yes? I was bitter. I was dark and sarcastic. I was a classic lost sheep. And it took a long time for God to convince me that I could be a new person. I could let that darkness slip away. It didn't need to be the defining feature of who I was. I could become someone little by little that I enjoyed being more. I could learn to use my words more pleasantly. I could learn to celebrate others. I could learn to praise. I could learn to enjoy. But even I didn't actually notice the change. I thought that I was still that person years after I wasn't any longer. Until one day I made some self-deprecating remark to someone, and they pointed it out. They said, really? You're not like that. You're not that person. And it turned out that they were right. How odd. I looked around myself and I noticed that God had done that thing quietly, in small ways and small moments that I didn't actually think was possible. All I had to do was just not fight him tooth and nail all the way along. That's the trick. And then to look back and to admit that it could be true. God really did change my life, just like we say he does. And God is still doing it. I look back 5 years and I see how God has been molding me. And 5 years from now, I'll look back and notice God's hand at work in my life like the potter's hands that never stop working the clay. We just rarely notice it while it's happening. Friends, in this season of the end of things and the beginning of things, I invite you to look back over what God has done in your last 5 years. And see where God has brought you. See where God has sustained you. See where God has brought into your life friends and mentors and encouragers to help you persevere. And that could include medical staff personnel. It could include professional personnel. I have a personal coach who's been a huge factor in my life recently. See where God has been with you, with the people that have come alongside you. See where God has opened new doors and where God has guided your steps. So you look back, right? It's the end of all things. We look back. Also, today is the new year. And isn't the new year when we look back and we see where we have come from? Look behind you and see where you've come from on the journey. And then, since God never intends us to stop moving, look ahead of you and see what lies in front of you. See what journey God opens out before you, the personal transformation that God invites you to receive. See it shining there in front of you, the invitation from your God, who knows every hair upon your head, and for those who don't have that, God knows every hair in your eyebrows and your eyelashes, every step that you've taken, every moment of your lives. The God who loves you, our God, whose promises are sure, whose mercy is everlasting, who will one day bring an end to all suffering and bring the beginning of eternal peace and justice. Our God, who waits now for us, hand held out in invitation, willing to wait as long as we need. And I imagine that God wears a smile and has a twinkling eye and a look that says, "So, what are you waiting for?" Amen.